I've been looking forward to singing that with Bruce for a long time. I told him that I've sung it. He taught it to me. He was at our home preaching for us and stayed in our home and sat there and sang that to me with no music, no guitar or anything. And I loved it. And so we sang it together, didn't we? And then we came up here. It was the first time that I sung it. We sang it together, and I enjoyed it so much. And I've been other places. Sang it at home a couple of times. And sang it in Ashland, I think. But it just wasn't the same without Bruce. I told everybody. I said, I love that song, but even more than that, I love the man who taught it to me. Love him, and I've been Greg. I've been looking forward to singing that with him. I guess we're getting famous for that, aren't we? We need to record it. It's gone viral on YouTube. And all that. We'll mess it up next time, that's for sure. Thank the Lord for that message, Brother Mike. That's wonderful. Just wonderful. Thank you all again for everything. Thank you so much. Thank you for all you've done for us. In Luke chapter 4, go with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. Don't you love to hear the gospel preached? Is there anything in this life better than this? It doesn't get any better than this, does it? When the Lord blesses it. This is a foretaste of glory divine. To hear our God exalted, to hear Christ, Him crucified, reigning, ruling, it's good news to sinners, isn't it? You know, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Lord in His wisdom, see, the world by wisdom knew not God, but God uses preaching, what the world calls foolishness, preaching the gospel. Not just preaching, but preaching the gospel, which is Christ, to save them that believe. And God in His wisdom has chosen this means wisely for many reasons. Number one, He chose it because He did. So, who would despise it? The non-elect. But His people, they're going to hear His voice. And you know how they're going to hear His voice? Through the preaching of the gospel. No, you won't find an example in the Bible of anybody being saved apart from the preaching of the gospel. That's the means of you. And it humbles us. Our pride, that's the first thing that's got to happen to us. These proud hearts got to be broken over sin. We've got to see our unworthiness. And He's going to use an old coal miner. He's going to use a truck driver. He's going to use a countertop installer. A railroader. That's right. He's going to humble the pride of man. He's going to have to sit there, the doctors, the lawyers, whoever it is, going to have to sit and listen to a nobody tell them that they're nobodies. But somebody came for nobody. Shuts our mouths, doesn't it? And in the wisdom of God, when you hear His voice, you're going to hear His voice through a man's voice. And in the wisdom of God, once you've heard Him through the preaching of the gospel, you need to hear that preaching from then on. Right? Those who have heard the gospel, heard His voice through a preacher, from then on they're going to be sitting in that pew. Lord, speak to me again. I know this is how You speak. Right? He's pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. The world says, don't preach to me. Don't preach to me. And religion is getting away from that, I guess. But God's people say, oh, preach to me. Preach to me. Like the eunuch. How can I accept some man show me? So, Don't you love preaching? And saying that, let me say this. Now hear me out. There have been some great preachers the Lord's raised up, hadn't they? Henry Mahan, Scott Richardson. We love those men. And I'm just the one to say this, okay? My last name is Mahan. He was my pastor. And I esteem him as highly or more highly than anybody. Right? His ministry's over. Scott is gone. He served his time. Right there's Henry Mahan. Do you hear me? Paul said that. Forgetting things that are behind. Forget it. You can't live on yesterday's manna. It's today. God has not left himself without a witness in every generation. He raised up men in every generation, and that's the man that we're going to have to hear from. Okay? Right there's Henry Mahan. Right there's Scott Richardson. Same message. I've heard a lot of good preaching. Believe me. I've heard a lot of good preaching. You don't have to go back to those old recorded messages to hear good preaching. We're here. You heard some good preaching this morning. I've heard John 4 preach from many men. Scott and Henry and all, you won't hear it any better than what you heard this week. I'm telling you the truth. See, that's what our Lord said. You brag on the dead and you kill the living. Isn't that what he said? If men don't hear these men today, they're not going to hear from the Lord. Is that right? Is that right? Okay. I'm just the one to say that. Okay. My dad, if he were here right now, he'd tell you that, right? If he could speak, he would tell you. And I'm speaking on his behalf. We think just alike. He taught me everything I know. And he would tell you that you forget those old fellows. I mean, you know what I'm saying. We love the sermon audio's fine and all the old tapes is fine, but you don't live on yesterday's manna. You've got to get it today. Today. Preaching. God had one son, and he was a preacher. The office of preacher is probably looked down on. Next to lawyers is probably the most dishonest. No, it's before lawyers. I hate for people to find out I'm a preacher. Don't you, Brother Mike? They're going to find out. They're the scum of the earth. They're not a true preacher. They're the salt of the earth. Doesn't matter what the world thinks about them. God highly exalts his preacher. Because God had one son, and he was a preacher. A preacher. And he went everywhere preaching the gospel. It says in Matthew and Mark, it says that he went into all the villages and all the towns and preaching the gospel. He said to his disciples, let's go into this other place. Because this is why I'm sent. I'm sent to preach the gospel. This is a wonderful occupation. This is a wonderful thing. This is what God uses, the preaching of the gospel. This is how God's people are going to hear his voice, right? So, and doesn't that make it urgent that people hear it? That this is the one thing needful? Doesn't that make it, this is not just a church service. This is where people are going to hear the voice of the Lord. Yes. So, there's people we want for the Lord to save. We're going to be saved one way. Right? So, this is... our Lord was a preacher. He was a preacher. He came home to Nazareth. Luke chapter 4. Did I tell you to turn that? Luke 4. Okay. Luke chapter 4. And look at verse 14. He returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogue, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, his hometown, where he'd been brought up. came back to Nazareth. And you remember, he, in this chapter, he said no prophets except in his own country. He couldn't. They ran him out of town. But he came there, didn't he? He's so merciful and gracious. Where he'd been brought up, and verse 16 says, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. His custom was. Now, I know what this means is that it was customary for the Jews, a young man reaching manhood, 30 years old, that he was in his hometown. This was customary that he would stand up, I guess, and read the scriptures, and he was acknowledged he's a man now. He's one of us. And that was the custom. But I read a little deeper than that. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That was his habit. That was what he did. That was what he was accustomed to doing, and that's what he did. He grew up that way. Remember, Joseph and Mary, his supposed parents, would bring him. They brought him to the temple, didn't they? And it was custom, and they did. They worshiped the Lord, didn't they? Mary certainly did, you know. Joseph, he died at some point. But they brought him into the synagogue. Well, this is what the Scriptures tells all of us to do, you know, to worship the Lord. When the people of forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. Our Lord didn't. He was always there, wasn't he? Every Sabbath. Paul says, as his manner was, as his habit was. There's some habits good, worth forming, aren't they? And this is one of them. We're just in the habit of doing this, aren't we? This is a customary thing, and this is what we do, and it's what we love to do. My parents, you know, it was just you're going to come to the worship service. You're just going to come, right, Pam? You're coming, but I don't want to. Hell, that's not an option. I was, as a boy, you know, I was like that little boy that worried about dying in the service. You remember that? That little boy sitting in the service beside his mother in the morning, and he was all fidgety and ready to get out of there, and he's looking around, and there's plaques all over the wall with names on them. He punched his mother and said, What are those names up there? And she said, those are the names of the boys that died in the service. Oh, then he got really worried. He said, which one, morning or evening? That was me. That was me. You know, I didn't die. I went to places like Pine Bluff, Arkansas, in the middle of the summer, 110 degrees. I hear 103 preachers. That's what it seemed like. That was just the habit. That was the custom. That was what we did. That's what we're accustomed to doing. I'm so glad now. I'm so glad that they brought me to hear the Scriptures that are able to make me wise unto salvation. Bless God, that's where I heard His voice. And that's where yours are going to today. Well, you bring them. A little side note there, as his custom was. His parents brought him up to do that. That's what he did. That's what God's people do. Because this is life. This is life. Not a vain thing. This is life. Well, he stood up to read. Don't you love to hear the Word of God read? Don't you love it? Mike, Bruce said, what are you going to read, Roland? Roland said, Colossians 3. My heart skipped a beat. I love Colossians 3. And I love that man. I love his Word. Love those that preach it, love those that read it. And he stood up there and he read it well, didn't he? Like he knew who he was talking about. He does. Don't you love to hear the Word read by somebody that knows the Word to personify? Don't you love to hear the Word read? Don't you love for someone to pray for? Don't you love that? Well, our Lord read. Oh, and I'm sure nobody read like he read. Why, he read like he wrote the book. did. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard him read? You know, no man spake like he. He sang. Oh, don't you know nobody sang like him. We're so self-conscious. We're afraid of messing up. Oh, he sang. But he stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. They said, here, read this. Now, they delivered unto him his book. He is the author of that book and every other book. The whole book. He wrote it. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the subject of it. Isaiah. We often slip up every now and then and say, turn to the Gospel of Isaiah. Well, it is the Gospel of Isaiah. Every book's the Gospel. Everything concerning him in it. To him give all the prophets witness. They delivered unto him the book of Isaiah. It was his book. He wrote it. And it says he found the place where Isaiah wrote these things. It is Isaiah 61. You're not going to turn there. We're going to stay here. But he could have chosen any place to read. He chose Isaiah 61. Because in a moment he's going to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What you're hearing is about me. In the volume of the book it is written of me. He could have chosen any place, could he? He could have chosen Isaiah 6. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And Christ could have said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He could have chosen Isaiah 7. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, God with us. He could have said, this day is this scripture fulfilled. He could have chosen Isaiah 9, couldn't he? Unto us a child is born. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. A child is born, a son is given. The government is upon his shoulder. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The government is upon his shoulder. He could have said, this day is that scripture fulfilled in your ears. He could have chosen anywhere. He could have chosen Isaiah 11. It says that the root of Jesse, a branch, Spirit of the Lord's upon him. Rest for the Gentiles. His rest shall be glory. This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. He could have chosen Isaiah 25, where Isaiah said that he'll destroy in this mountain the face of the covering. He'll swallow up death and victory. The Lord will wipe away tears from all eyes. It'll be said, this is our God. We've waited for him. He'll save us. Our Lord could have said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Could have chosen anywhere. He could have chosen Isaiah 42. Behold my servant. This day is the scripture fulfilled. Isaiah 49, a light to the Gentiles. Covenant to the people. This day is the scripture. Isaiah 53. He could have chosen that. This day is the scripture fulfilled. But he chose Isaiah 61. All right? Let's just read it here as he read it. Here in Luke chapter 4. He chose the place where it was written. And he didn't need the book. He didn't need to read it. But listen. Our Lord magnifies His Word above His name. When He healed the leper one time, He said, you go and offer the sacrifices that are written in the Scripture as a testimony to them. To bear witness of God's Word. He magnified the Word of God. He held it up before the people. He preached it. He quoted the prophets. Well, they're His prophet. They're His Word. But He magnified them, magnified the Word, and He read this book. Didn't need to read from it, but he knew it. He wrote it. But He held it up before the people so that they would see, I'm reading God's Word. Do you understand what I'm trying to get at here? We preach the Word of God. We've not don't preach our thoughts. We don't preach man's thoughts. We don't preach ourselves. We preach His Word. And that's what our Lord did. Held it up before all the people because He magnifies His precious Word before the people. This is what I'm reading. I'm reading from God's Word. And he read verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. First thing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The word Christ means the anointed one, doesn't it? The Spirit. Anointing of the Spirit. That's the word Christ. That's what it means. Christo, the anointed one. The anointed one. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, Isaiah wrote this. When he wrote it, it's like Isaiah 53. I'm quite sure. He said, I'm sure not writing this about myself. Wasn't it? You remember when the eunuch asked Philip, he was reading Isaiah 53, of whom does the prophet speak? Of himself or some other man? And Philip quickly said, Isaiah's not talking about himself. And in chapter 61, Isaiah's not talking about himself. The word Christ belongs to one person. The Spirit of God is upon one person. You immediately reject any of these fellows, and these women especially, who would stand up and say, I've got the anointing. That's Antichrist, isn't it? If someone is anointed, or has the anointing, and Paul talked about that, you have their anointing, but nobody stands up and says, I'm the anointed one. False prophets do that. And here's how you know if the Spirit of God is upon a preacher, he's going to preach Christ. He's going to point you to Christ. Don't look to me. Our Lord says, no man greater than John the Baptist. And they came to him and said, are you the Christ? No, don't you dare look to me. I'm not worthy to tie his shoes. I'm not the anointed one. He's got the Spirit without measure. He's the one that the Father hath blessed. There's the Christ. That's how you know a true preacher. He's going to point you completely to Christ. Well, you know what Christ did? He pointed men to himself. That's why they hate him. He's people in the town. You're just a man. No, he's not. He's the Christ. He's the anointed one. The Father bore witness of that in the previous chapter. He came to be baptized. John said, I didn't know him. But when the Father said, when you see the Spirit falling on him, that's the one. That's my Son. And he did. And he said, he has the Spirit without measure. He gives the Spirit. The Spirit's all about him. He's called the Spirit of Christ. Spirit of the Lord has anointed me, Christ said. He's the anointed one. We preach Him. That's how you know anointed preaching. He hath anointed me. What did He send our Lord to do? What was the Christ sent to do? Well, that's what our brother just preached to us, didn't he? He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The good news, He sent me. Oh, it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The gospel is about how Christ came to save sinners by the sacrifice of Himself. The gospel is good news to sinners. The gospel is good news to the poor in spirit, those that mourn over their sin. Those that have no righteousness, those that have no goodness, those who have no faith. This is the good news of how Jesus Christ came to provide, to give all that we need to the poor. To preach the gospel to the poor in spirit. Those who are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. This day, right now. Now our Lord said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Back then, it's 2,000 years ago. Well, I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you. And this man is here to tell you. This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Whenever the gospel is preached, where two or three are gathered in His name, He's there. And these things, this today is a day of salvation. That's what I was trying to say a while ago. It's not the past. It's not. Am I saved? Yeah, years ago. No, don't you dare look back to anything that happened. Oh, yeah, I heard the message that broke my heart. Don't you dare look at that. You believe now. Do you hear His voice now? Are you believing now? This day. He sent me, Christ said, to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, He literally came to the poor. He was literally poor, didn't he? He didn't have a place to lay His head. He told us and exhibited this in His own life. Having food and raiment, be content. He was. He needed nothing. He lived upon, Scripture says, Christ is our life, but the Father is His life. And He lived on that. And He was a happy man with it. Most of our happiness is because of the things of this world and the cares of this world are treasures that we too often have, and we lose them, and the moths corrupt them, and the thieves steal them, and it tears us all to pieces. Well, He didn't have any of those things. He didn't have anything anybody could steal. Anything anybody could take. He lived on it all the time. Always, though a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, He's the blessed man. He's the happy man. He's the content man. He's living a life abundant, isn't he? Living on God. Can't take that away. He was poor, showing us clearly, you don't need things. You need one thing. The Heavenly Father's going to feed you. You don't need these things. Adam and Eve didn't have any of the things that we think we need to make us happy. No. But He was poor, and He preached to the poor. He literally preached to the poor, didn't He? Why is that? Because, well, let me illustrate. We go to Mexico. Used to go more than we do now. But we go to Mexico, and that's, if you want to know something about poverty, you know, people here in this country talk about their being poor. You've been there, buddy. Now, they're still living, some of those villages living like they did 5,000 years ago. Dirt floors, no electricity. Grass roofs, 110 degree heat, cooking over a fire. That's called what you call dirt poor, isn't it? And the Lord, in His wonderful sovereign mercy and grace, sent the gospel down there, sent a man named Gruber all the way down to there with the gospel of Christ and Him crucified, and the Lord saved a bunch of those poor people. And they still don't have much. They've got food and they've got raiment. But buddy, they're a happy people. Man, when you go to preach the gospel in one of those villages, frogs and lice and flies and everything all around you, and a truckload of poor people will pull up in the back, sometimes 7, 8, 10 people in the back of a little Toyota pickup truck. They've traveled 3 or 4 hours in the hot heat, the sun. Just to do what? Hear the gospel. It's the most precious thing on earth to them. And they come and they sit there in their one finest garment, one garment, washed on a rock. I'm telling you the truth. And they'll sit there. You've been there, Roland. They'll sit there and like, now this is living. And they're happy. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. That was what's wrong with the Laodiceans. You have rich and increased in good, with goods and have need of nothing. Those aren't riches. Those aren't goods. This is good, what we're doing right now. This is riches. This is the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is the meat that men don't know of. We do, don't we? Why? Because He preached the gospel to us. Might be the best thing to ever happen to this country is for the economy to just flat go broke. Lose everything. Persecution for the truth. That's when the church really went everywhere, wasn't it? That's when one thing meant everything, didn't it? He hath sent me to preach the gospel to the poor, the spiritually poor, the literally poor. Read on, verse 18. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. First thing the gospel does, brethren, the first thing the word of God does is break these hard hearts. It must be so. His word is a hammer. His word is a fire. It must break our hard heart. Over sin. This gospel is for those that know the plague of their heart. And this gospel is the only thing that will heal a broken heart over sin. And then, you know, the gospel is also sent to those who've had literal broken hearts. This is the only answer. This is the only balm of Gilead for every broken heart, whether it be over sin, sorrow, troubles, trials, afflictions. Is it the gospel, the healing balm? Is it the gospel? Things happen. Deep troubles and trials and sorrows and afflictions happen. We lose a blessed loved one. Some of the hardest things we could go through in this life. And the Lord said, there's no temptation or trial hath taken you, but such is common to man. But God will with the trial, will with the temptation, will with the affliction, will give you a way that you might escape and be able to bear. What is the way to get through deep, dark times and sorrows and trouble? It's the gospel. It's the word of God. You come and hear that whatever it is, it's the Lord. You come and hear the good news that He's reigning and ruling over all things. Here's what I'm saying. The Lord gave, and the Lord is infinitely wise, and the Lord loves His own more than we love our own. You love that daughter dearly. You loved your blessed sister dearly, didn't you? Not as much as our Lord did. And He gave you a blessed daughter, didn't He? And that was the most heartbreaking thing you've ever been through in your life. How are you enduring it? Because He said, it's all working together for good. Because He said, I came for her. I came to give her life the first time, and He took her. The Lord gave her, and the Lord had taken her away. And that's what you're saying. This is the healing balm. This is this is the way to escape that depression and that despair. The Lord did this. He knows what He's doing. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's kind. He's more loving. He loves us more than we love our own. We don't see how that's possible, does it? It's so. It's so. And this is the balm of Gilead. I don't understand how this is going to work out. But here's what I've heard in the gospel. It's going to work out for good. And when it's all over, I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to praise Him for high heaven for doing just exactly what He did. Even the worst sorrow, the hardest trial I could ever go through, I'm going to thank Him. Thank You, Lord. I didn't understand at the time. I didn't understand the connection. I didn't understand how You could do this and it affected this over here. I just didn't know. I was thinking about me. This is the gospel that tells us, I do all things. I kill, I make alive, I wound. I'm the Lord that do all these things. I'm the Lord. Here's the good news. Our God reigneth. He's not a bystander in the affairs of men. When bad things happen, it's because He sent them. And they're not bad for God's people. They're never bad for God's people. He said, no evil shall befall you. It's not evil. It's what we think is evil. But God said, it's good. It's good. Think about the whole story of Ruth and Naomi, Joseph, Jacob, He got in a bad way. Everything's against me. I've lost my son, Joseph. He is not. Oh, Jacob. He is. The net's more alive than we are right now. Isn't that right? There's just a thin veil that separates us. And very soon, that veil's going to be peeled back. Brad? And she's coming back with the Lord. All of them. Thousands upon all the saints. It's going to be so glorious. He's telling all his saints, you coming with me. They're going to see me and they're going to see you. What a day that will be. You sing that, don't you, Pam? What a day. Your dad's coming with our Lord, isn't it? What a day that will be. And all sorrow's gone. No more tears. No more sorrow. Christ said, this day, good news. Sin's gone. Sorrow's going to be gone. This is healing for the brokenhearted. There is no healing apart from this. Read on. Verse 18. He sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. Oh my. Oh my. Each one of these things deserves a whole message by itself. This is why Paul preached all night long one time. I got to quit. He sent me to preach deliverance to the captive. Those Pharisees said, we've never been in bondage. Everybody's in bondage. The whole world's in bondage and doesn't know it. Right? Held captive by the God of this world and don't know it. But God, through the preaching of the gospel, it's the only way he delivers captives to Satan, to sin, the world, to themselves, to things. It's the only way he delivers the captives through the preaching of the gospel. Turn him loose. A ransom's been paid. I grew up in the, I told you, 60s and 70s, and navel gazer. I thought we were the liberated generation, enlightened generation. We started this mess. My generation, we're the ones started this mess, aren't we? Aren't we, Clarence? We're the ones started this whole mess, and that's worse than it. That we thought we were enlightened. We're free. Oh, think we're free. No. Doing what everybody else has done. Blind, following the blind, and falling in the ditch. But bless God, he came along for some of us blind and reached down in the ditch. Pulled us out. How? How? The gospel. Preaching the gospel. This young smart aleck, this prodigal son, the Lord brought him back. And he had his eye on a gal. And he was forced to come and sit in a pew. Joe, I was forced to sit in the pew. And, I didn't want to be there. I was over that, and I'd heard all that before, But I wanted this gal. So I sat there, and I was thinking about her. When's this going to be over with? And it wasn't long before I wasn't even conscious of her sitting there. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you my story. That for long, he came for me in the gospel. Why would he do that? Because he's merciful. Because he's so gracious. Because that's who he saved. Prodigal son. And gave me the gal to boot. All this and Christ too. Oh, boy. Captives. That's what we're talking about. Captives. Captive. Do you not still feel captive to things? Huh? Do you not still feel captive to things of this world? You're blind and deaf and dumb and sin and Satan and things like that. Do you not still feel at times like you? Well, what makes you free? What delivers you? You come and you sit and you hear the gospel all over again. It just. Deliverance. Read on. He sent me to preach recovering of sight to the blind. Oh my, I once was blind, but now I see. I once was blind to God, although his hand is everywhere around me. clearly seen. The things of God, His eternal power and Godhead all around us, clearly seen. I was without excuse, but I didn't see a thing. Didn't see His hand. I once was blind to myself. Weren't you? So blind to myself. Didn't realize it. I'm headed over the ditch. Over the hill. I'm going to... blind to myself. Thinking I was something when I was nothing. Thinking I was okay when I was not okay. My soul's in danger. Once was blind. Blind to this world. Blind to Satan's devices. His guiles. His wiles. His deceptions. His pits. His snares. And I fell into every one of them. Blind. But one day, through the preaching of the gospel, He opened my blind eyes. Now God is, isn't He? I'm in His hands, aren't I? Oh, I need Him. Christ is the only way. Open blind eyes. Read on. He sent me to set at liberty them that are bruised. Set at liberty. Freedom from our tormentor. Bruised is someone's been bruised and battered and beaten. You know the story of the Pilgrim's Progress where he and his companion got out of the way and they got out of the way and they went bypassed Meadow and they thought, this looks good. Everybody else is going over here. The evangelist said, stay in the straight way. Don't get out of that way. Keep looking to yon wicket gate. But they said, well, look, everybody else, that looks pretty pleasant. That there's nothing, no harm falling there. So they said, let's go over there. And they got in there, and lo and behold, they fell asleep. And they were held, they were taken captive and put in a dungeon by a giant despair. They both thought, we're hopeless, we're gone, it's over. And that giant despair, every now and then, will bring them both out of the dungeon and just whip them. Just whip them. Oh, you're no good. You're worthless. You look at you. Look what you've done. It's hopeless for you now. It's all over for you. You'll never reach that celestial city. And they were just beaten and bruised. And then one of them said, and they were just in despair in that dungeon and captivity, and it says, it came to him like a well of water springing up. It came, reached down in there. There's a key. Faith. He said, this will open the door. This will unlock the dungeon. This will get us out of here. This will deliver us from our tormentor. It's not, we don't need to be in this doubting castle in total despair. We got the key. It's called faith. It's called believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to be in despair. He's given us promise after promise lest we despair. And you know what? That key unlocked every gate and every bar and everything. And finally they went out. And you know what they did? They skedaddled back into that narrow way. They said, we ain't leaving here. They've been bruised and beaten, and oh man, it's hopeless now. What was it that got them out? The gospel. The gospel. There is no other way. There is no other hope. There's no other deliverance. And listen to this. Look at this. Now close. I've been sent to preach. Spirit of the Lord, He said, sent me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord. You know, our Lord is accepting applications for glory. Anybody who wants to be saved, who needs to be saved, anybody who needs mercy, anyone, whosoever will, whoever wants to be in His kingdom, whoever needs mercy, whoever needs grace, whoever needs salvation, come, He says, come. Now, acceptable year of the Lord. And every single person, it doesn't matter what they've done, doesn't matter who they are, He accepts you. He accepts you. It's not like there's applications for this and only the finest will be accepted. You know, if you get in the top three, you'll be accepted. Oh, no. It starts at the bottom. The less than the least.
Can I come too? Oh, yeah, you're going to be first. Acceptable year of the Lord.
You think he'd have me? Had a fella come, and he lived a hard life, you know, and the Lord brought him to hear the gospel and broke his heart and healed his heart at the same time. And what he said was, at first he said, "You reckon the Lord have a fella like me? Reckon I could be in here with all these good folk?" Oh, he didn't know, did he? Acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. And gave it back to the preacher, the minister. And he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And they all wondered, it says, at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. Words of grace. I commend you to the words of his grace. That Christ is salvation. And his word. You have his word on it. You have his promises. That this is why he came. You come to him. That means he's come for you. May the Lord bless you. My prayer. Okay.